my God. That's probably the most distant interview we're gonna have in the first weeks. We are having Cassandra from Let's Connect with us. She's based in Canada, so good morning, Cassandra. Good evening from my side in Germany. And it's so beautiful to have you because there's so much into what you and Let's Connect with a K, which I really love as well, Cassandra, with a K in the beginning as well, is offering, because you are basically doing all the backbone stuff for online marketing, for online businesses, not only marketing. And I really would love to explore that, what that means. And for me, running my business, I already know it's like a gold nugget having someone like you in the team. So I'm really happy to have you here. Thank you so much for following the invitation.
Oh my goodness, thank you for having me. Yes, we are quite far away from each other, but also love that we get to connect this way. So I'm excited for our conversation.
And you just mentioned we are far from a distance perspective, but we are very close to each other because, when we met, we just realized, oh, we have a passion for traveling. We have a passion for our structure. We have a passion for public speaking, and we have a passion for really exploring the culture. Tell me, what is the most interesting culture or travel you did in the past so far?
Yes. So I have done a little traveling in a variety of different places. The one that's sticking out in this moment, we just came back from the Dominican a few weeks ago and the Dominican Republic. And then a few years past, I went to Cuba and we went to Havana, and it was such an eye-opening experience, because when you think of all-inclusive resorts, you think of, you know, luxury and all these things, and you're on the resort and you're having fun. And it was just really interesting to have conversations with people from the city and be able to talk to them about how they live their everyday life and see how they, like, really immerse yourself, have dinner with them. We got to explore the city. We got to really connect with the community. And it was a beautiful, vibrant community. The colors, the vehicles, like, it, like, step back in time, basically. But the thing that they put forefront of everything was family. And that was something just so refreshing. Like, every weekend they would sit around the TV and it would be the whole community coming in and their whole family, and everybody would be in one room and they would all have dinner together. And it was just really beautiful to see everyone connect with each other and stay connected and not get caught up in their own world. And so I really enjoyed it. That one's coming to mind off the top of my head. I really enjoyed being able to see how people live outside of the all-inclusive lifestyle in these places.
That totally resonates to with me. So Cuba was one of the travels really stretching my boundaries and giving me a lot of insights about myself as well, because we did like backpacking, which is a challenge. So yes. It's like, whoa. And I really can underline this family first approach and this connection and making something out of nothing was something that really stood out for me and really changed my perspective as well. And I remember one time I traveled with someone, I think from Facebook or Google, and she really introduced perks in a very different way to me. So the way she explained perks, it's not only like, okay, the fancy stuff, we do it because it's cool, we do it because of the culture. No, we basically are serving needs. So for her, having like a remote office opportunity was serving the need with a long distance travel and having a pizza or a restaurant at the place they do not have to pay is serving the need of, I do not have the time to prepare food for myself. So that was super insightful where motivation is coming from.
Very interesting. Yeah, that's crazy. Maybe we were there at the same time.
Probably. How could we miss that? How could we miss each other back those days? So you also said like family is like close to your heart. It's really like a driving force in your personal life. So what's your mission in life, or what's your mission in business serving your life. So I love to blend that, obviously, quite a lot. I don't know if that resonates with you or how you feel about that. So if I ask you about your vision, your mission, what is it?
Oh, I love this. Okay. So for the business, my vision and mission and what I really, really want to achieve is I want to help other business owners build their vision. So my goal is to work with business owners who have a bigger mission, bigger vision, bigger goal than just themselves, and they want to help the masses. And so by me coming in and helping them, I in turn am serving their clients as well as a byproduct of the work that I do. And so my goal is always to touch the lives of as many people as I can, for, you know, both myself, but also for their lives. And so I am in business for my family, for my future, you know, with the financial freedom, the location freedom, all of these pieces, I'm able to really curate my lifestyle in the way that aligns with the direction I want to go. And so that is really big when it comes to business. But also, I get to help the people that I feel really connected to and aligned with, so that I, like, my clients, we're besties. Like, I truly believe in every one of my clients and what they're building. And so when we get to work together, it's us all building a bigger vision for ourselves as a collective. And so I believe that there is so much more than just myself out there. And I do it for my family. I do it for my future, but I also do it for all of their clients and all of the people that they're impacting as well.
Oh, that's really, I can already feel it, like Sherry's on my arms. And I'm curious, how did, like, there's always a story behind the story, right? So how did you come up with that? What was, like, the turning point, the experience in your life, making you realize this is what I'm meant for. This is what I want to do.
Yes. So it wasn't a really big revelation until 2 years into my business, actually. So I was going to be a psychologist. I finished high school. That was my plan. I'm like, I'm going to go into psychology. I'm going to be a therapist. Like, that was the direction I was going in. So I started my undergrad in psychology. And in my second year of university, I took an elective, and you have to take electives in university here. And so I wanted to try different things that I had never done before. I wanted to, like, learn new skills. So I had my psychology courses, and then I was like, I'm going to take a business management course. I know nothing about this. Let's try it out. And so it was like a night class. It was like a 7 to 10 o'clock at night on a Tuesday. And here I am in this class I knew nothing about. And it was really, really, really interesting and inspiring. And I was like, I really enjoy what I'm learning here. So I did some soul searching, did some thinking. And, you know, my dad had always said, you'd be great at, like, event planning or marketing or all of these things. And I was like, oh, I don't know. And so I took this class and I was like, oh, maybe he's right. So I went to them and I was like, hey, I am actually going to switch from psychology to marketing. So I fast-tracked my psychology degree and I went into business marketing. And so I did a million years more of school, and I went into, you know, an internship after I had finished. And I really wanted to go to an internship that was a small business, like a locally owned mom and pop kind of shop, because I wanted to learn how marketing directly affected the success of the business. And so this was just before the pandemic. I was just getting in here. And so I started off there, learned so, so much, and then decided, well, I'm going to try and do this with more people. I want to help more than just one company. And so I opened Connect. In my second year of business, I was helping everybody and anybody with their social media, and I felt really disconnected. I felt unaligned. I felt like my clients are amazing, but I just didn't feel connected to them. And so I was like, oh, I'm not making the money I want to make. I'm not connecting with the people that I want to connect with. I don't know what I want to do. I don't know what direction to take this in. And so in December of that year, which would be just over, you know, two Decembers ago, technically, 2 years ago, I stopped and I was like, I'm either going to rebrand and get really clear on what I want to do here, or I'm going to close the business down. And it took me 6 weeks. I hired a brand designer. I hired a web designer. I hired a therapist. I went deep. And so in that 6 weeks, that's where I really discovered this essence of, I want to help you be a better business owner so that you can help your clients in a better way. So when you get to stay in your zone of genius, your clients get so much better results because you're not focused on that email sequence that's supposed to go out or that Instagram post that never got posted. And that's not on your mind anymore. I've taken that responsibility from you so that you can be in your zone. And then your work becomes so much more impactful, so much more potent, so much more deep. And then I get to do the back end stuff, which I really enjoy. I've always been the organizational girl in school. And so that really started to drive home for me at the beginning of last year. And I was like, this is what I want to do. This is the direction I want to go. And then I fired all my clients and I started from fresh.
I fired all my clients. I think you're the first one I'm hearing that from. I'm firing my clients. Usually I hear I fired all my employees. That's quite bold.
Yeah, I went through and I was like, there was one client I had kept on, but the other, I think there was eight at the time, I had fired the roster. And I was like, we are starting fresh because where you're at in business, where I want to go, who I want to attract into my business doesn't align anymore. And I don't want to get stuck in a hamster wheel that I feel obligated to. I wanted to create the space and create the energy that I wanted to pull in. And so, yeah, I sent some lovely messages to everyone. Everyone was wonderful about it. They totally understood. But there was some hard conversations and some hard realizations. Because like you said, who fires their clients? Who fires people that are paying them? And so, yeah, it was quite interesting.
So before we dive a little bit into, you know, you mentioned I'm the backbone of the business of others, before we dive into that. So what really stood out for me from that experience is the do, experience and adopt thing. So you had to do something, you had to experience it in order to find out what you really want and to get that clarity. And what also was very super like a framework standing out from that, so maybe a framework for success, this lack of connection, this lack of direction, causing lack of money, turned into absolutely the decision to change, the clarity, and then really taking aligned actions and focusing on the values, because you touched base on values and connection and freedom are those values really sticking out to me. Which made you thrive then and made you take those bold decisions. Can I summarize that journey in that way?
Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of, you know, a lot of us want this magic pill on how to make a successful business, right? Or we want the framework on, well, what did you do? How did you do it? And I think we can look to other people to an extent, but it's a lot of inward searching and it's a lot of inward alignment that has to happen in order for the business to be successful long-term in a way that feels good for you. You can have a successful business and feel like crap, and you can have a successful business and feel amazing in it. And so I think there's this balance around, yes, looking at the external world, looking at your competition, looking at very successful entrepreneurs and how they've laid out their business. But a part of it is inside of you, and you know what feels good. You know when to pull back or to push forward. And I think it's a part of trusting that in yourself and knowing that, you know, when I went to them and I was like, hey, I'm gonna, you know, fire my clients. Like you said, people are like, what are you talking about? Why would you do that? They're paying you money. And I was like, yes, but they're not the clients that I want to attract into my business anymore. So if I keep them here, I'm going to stay stuck in the same space. And so I was like, I'm going to go against what most people would say, and I'm going to get rid of them. And then I allowed more space for the aligned clients to come in. So there's this element of trying different things, experimenting on different things. There's been many, many, many things I've experimented on, offers, programs, the way I run my business, the style in which I present myself, all of the things. And like you said, there's this adaptive method, right? We try it. Oh, that didn't work, or that didn't feel good. Let me adapt. Let me adjust and then keep going. And so I think there's an element to looking outside of yourself, but really focusing in on what feels good for you and following that gut feeling and following and trusting yourself.
So what I really sense here, and that's really like a magical balance, I would say. You're talking about the structure and, you know, the strategies and, you know, applying, which for me is quite a male energetic. And then you're talking about, I've got this inner voice. I'm trusting. Yes, I'm sensing. I'm feeling. These are the words really sticking out, which is kind of the female side of that. So to me, I think the shortcut for us females is to balance out the female and the male way of doing. And when I say of doing, is like the strategy and the trust and the adoption and the knowing I can find my way in business. Yes. And I can fire my clients and we'll be successful afterwards.
And we'll have our biggest year yet. Yeah. And I totally agree with that masculine feminine energy. I spend a lot of time when I'm helping my clients in my masculine energy, right? Because I'm the doer. I'm getting the stuff done. I'm getting the structures in place. I'm doing all the things. I've spent a lot of my life in my masculine energy. And this is something that I'm trying to listen to and rewire and be sensitive towards, that, you know, there's people that are so far in their feminine that they're like, what's an email sequence? Mm-hmm. And you know, they're running big businesses and they're doing it all in the feminine. And not that either one is good or bad, but rather that you can have a healthy mix of them. And if you choose that you really want to stay in your feminine, I love that for you. Guess what? You hire me as your masculine side of you. And so now we work together in tandem so you can stay in your feminine, I can stay in my masculine, and together we can come and build this beautiful business with structure, with processes, and with your zone of genius, with your lightness, with your coaching, with your whatever it is. And so they don't have to fight each other. They can coexist. And I often recommend that, you know, you don't have to have every structure in the book. You don't have to have 800 different softwares to run your business, but you can streamline and simplify certain things so that you can lean more into that feminine essence and lean into what feels good rather than what everybody else has done. So yeah, masculine feminine is huge in this space. And I think as women, it's okay. You can have both. You can you can dabble in both energies and still be very successful in what you do.
Yeah. You can have this dance and enjoy this dance of those two energetics. So what I would love to explore a little bit, because it's so unique, the power of your values. You just said, my values of freedom financially and locally is driving you, the connection as a value. So how do you use your values, your personal values, your company values, probably even in practice when checking, is that client aligned? Because that's also like sticking out. I make a choice on the client. I'm bold enough to fire my clients, so I make a choice on my clients. So how do you find out that these are the matching clients, and how do your values play into that?
Oh, so good. So all of my clients, they can't purchase something from me unless we've gone through either a discovery call or an application form. And the reason for that is so that I can get to know them, get to know what direction they want to go in, all of those pieces. And so from there, my discovery calls, I used to do this early on, but I just didn't realize what I was doing. I would have a discovery call, and my discovery calls were an hour long, which a lot of people are like, oh my gosh, you're spending an hour with somebody you don't know. And I was like, yes, because I want them to talk. Talk as long as you want. We have no time limit. And rather than cutting them off at 10 minutes and being like, okay, don't talk, I'm going to sell to you now, I was like, I want you to talk. You tell me all about what's going on in your world. Because that allowed me an opportunity to get to know them on a deeper level. Mm-hmm. Because oftentimes, yes, people are going to talk about the surface level of their business. But once they start getting into it, they're like, you know, I really want this because I want to be able to go see my kids at the soccer game this weekend. Or I really want this because I want to be able to X, Y, and Z. Or, you know, I'm feeling frustrated in this because it's coming up from all all of these past patterns that I've had. And you'd be surprised what people would tell you. And so I was like, I don't want to cut off these types of conversations because I think they're important for people to have. And whether we work together or not is irrelevant because we've had this connection and we've had this conversation. So in that, I would write on the top of my like little intake notebook, yes or no, like within, you know, that first 20 minutes of a conversation in big red letters, I would write yes or no in the way that I wanted to work with them. For me, it's, I'm a sacral generator. And so for me, it's a yes or no answer. Like I will know if I really listen to myself and I really trust myself, it is a yes or no. And so in that moment, I would then, you know, when I first started my business, money was a big thing because you want that financial freedom. You want to build your rapport. You want to build your clientele. And so I would say yes to people that my gut said no to, and they wouldn't work out long-term, or there would be something that happened, or I had a client not pay me for a month's worth of services. And so there's been times, right, where you learn and you're like, oh, I should have said no, but I said yes. And so eventually I just started to really trust that in the sense that when we have these conversations, when I read your application, when I connect with you, there is a deeper meaning behind it for me. It's not just, okay, let me sell you my services. It's really, let me get to know who you are. I want to know your kids' names. I want to know what's going on with your husband. I want to know all of these things, because when we connect like that, our work becomes so much more meaningful and deep. And it's not just the surface level, let me write you an email. And so as long as you allow me into your world, I will obviously allow you into my world, and we connect on this deeper level and we literally become business besties. Like that is my goal. If I can't send you a heart emoji, we're not working together, right? If you find that that's unprofessional, it's not happening, right? And so there's now just been this shift in who I'm attracting because of the way that I'm showing up on social media, because of the way that I work with my clients. There's a shift in energy inside of me, and then there's a shift in energy in who's coming to my doorstep. And so all of a sudden, it's not hard. I mean, I don't want to say it's easy to find clients, but it's not hard to find aligned clients anymore, because those are the people that are following me and showing up in my world and sending me messages and having conversations. So yeah.
It's so funny because I like, when we started to have today's conversation, I said, like, I just need to look at your website for 1 second because I'm a visual person. Sometimes I'm a very visual person. So if I see something, I remember, and I can see our first conversations we had on Facebook, and I can remember a lot of red hearts being involved. So it's so incredible fun that you're just mentioning that. And it's just underlining that your vibe attracts your tribe, right?
100%. I'm a very fun, casual, loving person. And I really want to portray that in every aspect of my life. I don't want my clients to be a disconnect of who I am. And so when I send hearts to my clients on Slack in the morning, I'm like, how you doing, heart? How's your day going, right? Or I hope you have a beautiful day. That's what I want to portray in everything that I do. And so I don't want there to be a disconnect from the love that I show my family versus the love that I show my clients and appreciation that I show them versus the love that I show my social media followers. You guys are all a part of my world. You are all sitting at the same table, and we are all, no matter where you are in business, you could be a 7-figure business owner and you could be just starting. You are all sitting at the same table in my mind, and we are all learning from each other. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's just a beautiful way of, you know, floating into unpacking a little bit what you do. Because when we met on Facebook and I invited you for this podcast, immediately the OBM, online business manager, stood out to me. And you just described I'm the backbone in the structures of your business. So I just realized a lot of people do not really know what an OBM is and what she does, what he or she does. So can you explain, or can you give me your definition of an online business manager in your world? And yeah, what the heck is an online business manager actually bringing to the table for a business owner, 6-figure, 7-figure, independently?
Yeah, absolutely. So for me, an online business manager is somebody who can come into your business at a higher level strategically and lay out the foundational pieces. So when we build a business, we are like going, right? You open up the business, you start running, you don't really know what direction you're going in a lot of the times. You don't have the systems and processes in place because you're kind of figuring it out as you go along. Oh, okay, we have emails. Now we need an email software. Or, oh, we're taking payments. Now we need a payment software. So there's not a lot of heavy lifting on the front end when you start a business for a lot of people, especially online businesses. And so you kind of develop these things as you go along. And so an online business manager essentially comes in and says, okay, you've now gotten to this point in your business. And that can be different for every person. Like I've been online business management for 7-figure businesses. I've been, you know, at the 100K point. Like the number doesn't necessarily matter when it comes to income, but the scalability matters. So when you're at that point where you're like, you know what, I feel like there's something coming, or I've noticed that there's a lot of people coming into my world, or that I want to offer a different entity of services or products or whatever it is, that's when you start to notice the system failures, right? You might say, okay, I just had 20 people have I'm intaking 20 new clients. I've never done that before. And I don't have an onboarding process. And so now these clients, as much as I want to be professional and show them, I don't have the process behind it. Boom, online business manager comes in, looks at it from a high level and says, okay, here's the gaps in the systems or the market or whatever it is. Here's the gaps in your business. Here's how we're going to fill those gaps, and here's how we're going to take you to the next level. And then in my case, not all online business managers implement, but in my case, I like to actually implement on those strategies. So I say, here's the strategy. Now I'm going to take you to, and I'm going to implement the strategy with you. The important part for me as an online business manager is to set things up that feel good for you. So instead of setting up AI and softwares and programs that you know nothing about, you can't log into, you have no experience with, it's over complex. I really want to make it accessible to you so that if I were to duck away, or if you're like, hey, you know what, I've got it from here, or I'm going to hire a virtual assistant or whatever it is, they can come in very easily into your business, or you can step back into your business and feel very comfortable in what's been laid out rather than feeling really lost and overwhelmed and scared now because you don't know how to run your business in the way that you used to. And so, yeah, online business management for me is somebody that comes in as a high level strategist, looks at what's going on in your business, and then implements the systems and processes to get you to that next level of scaling.
So a little bit like behind the curtain, if you're going to your clients or if you just compare your currently aligned clients, how is their setup? How many systems or products or clients or employees, people, team members do they have in place? Just to get a feeling of, you know, what would be the best time to consider an online business manager, except when you're realizing, oh my God, there is a gap. Now I'm fucked.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what are those hints you would give to your soul clients?
Yeah, we definitely want to catch the oh my gosh, what am I doing before it happens, right? Because when you have an influx of clients, whether you're launching a membership, a mastermind, a retreat, you're having like an open house at your location, like it can be a bunch of different things, but a podcast, maybe you're launching a podcast, all of a sudden you're going to get all this exposure. What happens when you get exposure? You have an Instagram reel that goes viral. Everybody wants to go viral on social media, but they don't realize, okay, once you go viral, what happens? Where are you funneling these people into? And so when you think about, you know, where your business is at, I often say just before you're ready to kind of like, and this is hard to like, you'll know, but just before you're ready to take it to that next level. So maybe you do have a virtual assistant in place. Maybe you have a social media manager. Maybe you have a graphic designer. Maybe you have a website person. You don't have to have all of them, but maybe you have one or two people that either you contract out to or that work with you quite consistently throughout your day. Oftentimes that's kind of a good spot where you have somebody in your business quite frequently. They know more about you. They know about the business. And now you're like, okay, I want to scale this thing. I want to take it to multiple six figures, multiple seven figures, 8, 10, 12, whatever it is for you. I want to take it to the next level. So when you're ready to step up into something, that's usually when you need an OBM, because what you're doing currently is not going to work at that next level. And I say that in like a good way. You know, if you right now are onboarding manually all of these clients, when you have 50 clients dumping in your inbox a day, you can't onboard 50 clients a day. It's impossible. You'd be exhausted. That's all you would be doing. So now we put in some systems and some automations in there so that when they sign up, they get an automated email that says, welcome to the program. Here's all your logins. Here's all what you need to know. And you can sit back a little bit, or you can go sell to somebody, or you can be on your social media or whatever it is for you. So I think it really depends on your business, I've had clients hire me when they were at seven figures and now they want to scale to 8, 9 figures. I've had clients hire me when they were at like coming up on 100K and they're like, I want to double this next year. And I'm like, great, let's do it. It's almost like that next level when you are ready to take the next leap and bring more income into your business and bring more people into your business. That's really where an online business manager. And some of my clients, we've worked together long-term over these projects. Some of them we work, you know, a 6-week intensive where we're like, let's just get this crap done. Let's do it, put it in place. And then I can handle it from there. I'm like, great, sounds great. So it really just depends on where you're at, where you want to go, and the momentum behind you. If you feel that momentum, it's time to get support. Don't wait.
I love that. If you feel the momentum, and I think there's actually a saying, what did bring you here won't get you there. And if we start to really dream big, if we start to allow ourselves to emerge into that vision of ourselves, of our business, there will be this momentum of, oh, holy crap. Yes. Now it's time to talk to an online business manager, how we learned today. So
yes.
I totally can relate to this. Yeah. So you yes. touched base on scalability, and that's pretty interesting, because the business I'm running is about female business scaling. So how we can scale a business as a female, staying a female, but also yes. applying the male strategies, what we touched base a little bit earlier on. So what does scaling or scalability, as you mentioned it, mean for you? How would you define it?
Yeah, I think truthfully, scalability is doing things bigger than you were before. So it doesn't, to me, it doesn't, I don't have a number on scalability. Like, oh, once you reach seven figures, you're scaling, or once, like, no, because we all started at zero, right? And we've scaled mm-hmm. to where we're at now, and we've scaled. And so to me, I think there's not necessarily a monetary value on it, but rather there is a number value in the sense of, okay, well, I had 4 clients, you know, last June, and now I have 12 clients, or I didn't have a team member and now I have a team member, or, you know, you're scaling monetarily. So I think it just comes down to growth is really how I look mm-hmm. at scaling, and seeing it as like the next step in your evolution. And I'm not talking like, okay, well, I made $2 more than I did last year. I'm talking like, you know, perhaps doubling it or making half of what you did, like, you know, really kind of compounding your impact. Mm-hmm. Right. Where you're really leaping to the next level. And so, yeah, I think scalability is, yes, a lot of people think of it as like, oh, I'm scaling to 6 figures, but it doesn't have to be scaling to 6 figures. It can be, hey, I went from a 20K year to a 50K year, or I hired my first team member, or I doubled my clientele, or whatever that is, or I started a podcast, or whatever you want it to be. But that piece is, to me, scaling in an essence.
Mm-hmm. I would underline that and just say like, yeah, totally agree. And what I feel like with scaling, there's this vibe of it's overwhelming, it's hard, it's hustling, it's yes. very dominant, it's blah. And personally, I've got the mission of really breaking this paradigm of it has to be hard, it has to be skyrocketing. So it has to be a huge team. It's just about this continuous growth and this aspect of learning. Because what I experience with us we continuously want to learn. So touch basing with your story, being a psychologist or like being in education for becoming a psychologist. Oh, I don't know anything about business. I'm curious. I want to learn that. So that's really like this inner motivation and driving force of learning. And I think this is something a lot of us do have in common. And if we put that on top of it rather than higher, bigger, more like the ego thing, then it can be a lot of fun. And the way you describe it, it just feels so easy. So even if I don't know exactly, you really get the spirit and this vibe across of, hey, scaling is an opportunity to grow and it can be easy and it can make fun. And I can show you how somehow, right?
Absolutely. And I think, like you said, we get stuck in the bogged down nitty gritty details of scaling, right? We're like, oh, okay, well, if I scale, I have to do this, or I have to get this, or I have to do that. And again, you're focused on what everybody else did to get to that point. You don't have to do anything. When I scaled my business from $30,000 a year to $100,000 a year, I added 2 clients, no email system, no funnels, no nothing. I didn't do any of that. I focused in on what I was good at, marketing, social media, and that's how I built that piece of it. And so when you think about scaling, like you said, it doesn't have to be complex. You don't have to now all of a sudden flip into the masculine energy and never touch your feminine ever again. With scaling, I will say too, when you invest, and I'm not saying you have to invest in an OBM, but when you invest in getting rid of the stickiness in your business, it can help you. So for me, bookkeeping, why does it even exist? I hate it. I suck at it. I am not a good bookkeeper. Like, get rid of it. Tax season, no, thank you. I hire somebody to do that for me so that my energy can stay flowing in the things that I'm good at. And, you know, the $300 a month that I have to pay that person to do that task for me is so much more worth it, because now I get, let's say that took me 10 hours a month. I get 10 hours of time back to spend doing whatever it is that I need or want to do in that moment. Maybe it's recording podcasts. Maybe it's going for a walk with my husband. Maybe it's, you know, whatever it is, you get to decide. Maybe it's selling to a new person or onboarding a new client. But when you take the stress out of scaling, the expectation on how you should scale or how it's properly scaled, you get to decide what it looks like for you. It could literally be opening up a new social media channel. It could be getting more emails. It could be doing a freebie and having emails funneled into your world. It could be onboarding, switching your onboarding process. And take it step by step. Don't try to I overhauled my business because I was like, this is failing and we're not going anywhere. But it's not something I recommend, you know, where you just burn everything to the ground and start again, because there is a lot of foundational pieces that are solid inside of your business. Mm-hmm. And those can still stand. You just have to build on top of those and grow from what you've learned already. So I agree. Scaling doesn't have to be scary or daunting or stressful. It can be very easeful. But you have to trust yourself and what you know to be true and what direction you want to go in. Focus in on those values, focus in on that direction. All of the other pieces tend to kind of come into place. The universe is kind of has a way of working itself out.
And it's specialist to work it out as well. Like you just mentioned that, yep. You know, the setup, the technology, the framework, the processes, the systems, they are unique and differently for everyone. And also that's something I believe in. Like I think it would be a perfect team match on us. What I really believe is having this long-term vision, what you really love doing, and then leaving the framework, what you should delegate and keep what you really love. So I do not love bookkeeping the same way. Like I'm exactly the same like you, like here, take it, I don't want it. But there are people who love those figures, and then if you are outsourcing, that's probably not the best. And I just had a conversation with one who delegated the team management to someone, just to realize I'm losing the connection, and I really love that's making me strive. So that's probably not the best strategy if you just follow it without checking in with yourself, with your values, with your personality, with your strength, with your, you know, passion. So you keep on scaling while really having this joy and ease.
Yes. And you get the autonomy, right? Like you said, like, yes, somebody might have had a team manager come in or an OBM that manages their team and it's been amazing for them and they've scaled and they've done all the things that they wanted. And then the same, and on the flip side of that, someone could have come in and said, yeah, I hired somebody to manage my team. And I felt, like you said, very disconnected, very disjointed from them. I didn't feel excited anymore. I lost connection with my business. Okay. Then guess what? Those strategies don't work for the same people. Like, it doesn't always work. There's not one size fits all. Here's the formula to a seven-figure business. Otherwise, we'd all be on our way to a seven-figure business, right? There's nuance and development and discovery in all of it. And we are all individual people. There's things that we love doing. There's things that we hate doing. And so when you can start handing things off that just don't, like, you know, don't excite you, then it leads room for more things that do excite you. If you're like, hey, I love social media, I'm that person. I love social media. If you love social media and you can get back 5 hours a week from a different an email management, you know, software or person or whoever, if you can get that time back, you can now spend that time on social media, which drives up your sales, drives up your awareness, all of these pieces. So there's always trade-offs to things. And I think that, you know, when we invest in our business, whether it's mentorship, team, collaborations, it always comes back to us. Maybe not right in that very moment, but it does come back to us in the long term. And so I think focusing in on what's your zone of genius? What are you good at? And then try and get rid of the rest of it.
I love that. I couldn't summarize it better. So it's, I hope now everyone feels like, okay, if I really take my business serious, I somehow need to think about having the right people around me and really start thinking about what I really love doing and what I can give to somebody, loving it. And the quality, actually, that's my experience, increases because you're passionate about that. So you do it with the energy of passion rather than doing a tough-hearted with the energy of, I have to do it, but I don't want to. So that's the gold nugget in that conversation, I would say.
Yeah, absolutely. If you don't like to do something, there's somebody out there that does. And yeah. So it's just about finding that person that jives with you. And like you said, because it allows you to energetically release from that and not feel like you're stuck or you have to do it or this is the right way to do it. It just allows you to really step into what you enjoy and allows that other person to step into what they enjoy. I love sitting here and making email funnels. I love sitting here and managing your calendar or organizing your Google Drive. Like, done, sign me up. And it might take me half the time that it takes you because you're hemming and hawing and frustrated and you're going to get a snack because you hate doing this. And trust me, I do it. There's things in my business where I'm like, this took me way too long because I don't like doing it. And so when you can hand it off to somebody else, it does return back to you. It really does.
Thank you so much, Cassandra. There is no better way to summarize our conversation like that. So really, thank you so much for the time and your honesty and really like bringing out all those examples to unpack an online business manager position or service and being you in that. It's been such an inspiring and refreshing conversation with you. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate you. And yeah, I'm just glad we got to connect and have this conversation. It's an important one, right? And so I think that it was really good to chat.
Yeah. So for all the listeners who would like to understand a little bit more about online marketing management and your services and how actually it could look like working with you, we put it in the show notes. So I strongly recommend following you on social media. I really love your Facebook. It's so much fun and so lighthearted. So that's really, I can feel the passion in that. So thank you so much. We will put all the links in the show notes. And we are super excited to hear back from you what you really liked about today's episode and what's the one thing you take away with.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you.
Thank you.